Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 447. We are in the book of Romans beginning today. Any of you have missed any of my shows, they can be heard or downloaded at my website. I'm going to give the whole thing, because if you just Google Pastor Steve, you're just going to get a whole bunch of different people. It's https://www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R-Steve, S-T-E-V-E.com. Some people have put in Paster, P-A-S-T-E-R, and they didn't get it. What? That's the internet. You got to love it or not. Let's get started in the book of Romans with chapter 1. This leaves off at the end of Acts and takes up again in the book of Romans when Paul is in Rome. And this is the recounting that is given to us in the scriptures. I will be reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. There are some notes. You're going to want to take some notes, perhaps, so be ready to write. I'll give them twice and then move on. Chapter 1, verse 1. Shaul, a servant of Yeshua Messiah, a called emissary, separated to the good news of Elohim. That's the gospel, okay? Verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the set-apart scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son, who came of the seed of David according to the flesh. Okay, he was in the body of a man, even though he was divine. He inhabited the fleshly body of an Adamite. Okay. Verse 4, who was designated son of Elohim with power according to the set apart spirit by the resurrection from the dead? Yeshua Messiah, the master of us. Verse 5, through whom we have received favor and office of the emissary for belief obedience among all the nations on behalf of his name. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called ones of Yeshua Messiah. Let's stop right here. He was speaking to Israel in Rome. All right? He was not speaking to non-Israelites. He was speaking to the Israelites in Rome. Now, Rome was founded by the Zerach, or Zerah, branch of Yehuda. Okay? That's who were the original Romans. And they had a lot of Israelites up there. So, here we go, verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called set apart ones, favor to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. Verse 8. First, I truly thank my Elohim through Yeshua Messiah for you all, that your belief is spoken of in all the world. Verse 9. For Elohim is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the good news of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you. Pardon me, I gotta clear my throat here for a second. Yeah, the temperature has dropped off here and I got a little upper chest congestion. Verse 9. For Elohim is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the good news of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you. Verse 10. Always asking in my prayers, if at all possible, I shall be blessed by the desire of Elohim to come to you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, so as to impart some spiritual gift to you, for you to be established. Verse 12, and that is, to be encouraged together among you, each by the other's belief, both yours and mine. In other words, he really wanted to found a congregation. There, he wanted them all to come together and work together. That's what he was there for. This is verse 13, and you can reference the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 21. Acts 19, 21. And I do not wish you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often purposed to come to you, but was hindered until now in order to have some fruit among you, as also among the other nations. That's the nations in dispersion. Verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks, that's Hellenes, okay, and to foreigners, both to wise and to foolish. Verse 15. In other words, he has a debt to Yeshua to preach to the Hellenes, which were Israelites in dispersion, and to people in foreign nations that were Israelites in dispersion, and to wise men and to foolish men of Israel. Verse 15. That is why I am so eager to bring the good news also to you who are in Rome. Verse 16, and you can reference the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 38. That's Mark 8, 38 for verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Messiah, for it is the power of Elohim for deliverance to everyone who believes, to the Yahudi first, and also to the Greek or Hellenes. Okay? The tribe of Yehuda got the word first because all of Yeshua's acts and his death and resurrection occurred in the territory of Yehuda. Yeah, that frog caught up with me again. Verse 17. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Verse 17. And you can reference the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. That's Habakkuk 2, verse 4, for verse 17. For in it the righteousness of Elohim is revealed from belief to belief, as it has been written, and this is what written in Habakkuk, but the righteous shall live by belief. In other words, if you believe in Yeshua and what he taught, you will live your life according to what you believe in. You can't just say, oh, I believe, and then live in the world. You have to be one of his in truth. You have to be a doer of the word, not just a sayer. Okay? Verse 18. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which is known of Elohim is manifest among them, for Elohim has manifested it to them. In other words, Yeshua manifested himself here and showed the truth of the word. He was the word in the flesh, and what he taught is the word. And there's going to be punishment for those that deny or suppress the truth of Yeshua in unrighteousness. Yahweh is very patient, and he has held off his wrath, but it's coming, and it's coming soon. We see by all the signs in today's world that we're running out of time. So, take it or leave it, basically. You're going to have to make a decision. You can't sit on the fence. You'll get hammered. Verse 20 of chapter 1, and you can reference Wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, that's Wisdom of Solomon, 13, 1 through 9, and the book of Sirach. Chapter 17, verse 8, at Sirach 17, 8. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightiness, for them to be without excuse. Verse 21, and you can reference Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, continuing on, verse 21. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim nor give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. verse 22. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23. And changed the esteem of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of reptiles. In other words, idols. Stone, wood, whatever, that did nothing, were good for nothing, had no power. They were worshiping these idols, even they, although they knew about Yahweh. They apostatized and went back to pagan idol worship. You can reference for verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Wisdom of Solomon, again, in your Apocrypha, chapter 11, verse 15. That's 11:15. Chapter 12, verse 24. That's 12:24. And chapter 13, verses 10 through 19. That's 13, 10 through 19 in Wisdom of Solomon. Verse 24. Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to disrespect their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of Elohim into the falsehood and worshipped and served what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I mean, so be it. More coffee. Verse 26 of chapter 1. Because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions, for even their women exchanged natural relations for what is against nature. Okay, let's clarify that. Lesbianism. They didn't want men, they wanted other women. Lesbianism. Verse 27. And likewise, the men also, having left natural relations with woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing indecency and receiving back the reward which was due for their straying. Homosexuality. Oh, that's politically incorrect. You can't say that today. I just did. I quoted Paul. Deal with it. It's against nature. It's against God. Deal with it. Verse 28. And you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 16. That's 3 Maccabees 4, verse 16 for verse 28, and even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind to do what is improper. Verse 29, having been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy, murder, fighting, deceit, evil habits, whisperers, verse 30, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, boasters, devisers of evils, disobedient to parents, verse 31, without discernment, covenant breakers, unloving, unforgiving, ruthless, verse 32, who, though they know the righteousness of Elohim, that those who practice such deserve death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Boy, is that ever a description of today's world. That just nails it, what's going on today. All of that. And the wrath that's coming, Yahweh has held off. He's removed contact with these people, and he's only visiting the remnant, those who he calls these days. And it seems to be mighty few. The remnant's going to be small. These people that are going to these Judeo-Christian churches and worshiping on the day of the sun god and calling on whatever, and then going back out into the world, oh, they think they're saved. Oh, they go running up and they get saved, supposedly. And then they get baptized. But they don't get baptized into the name of Yahweh or Yeshua. Therefore, it means nothing. So, I mean, this world, I mean, they're under a strong delusion. They're being lied to from the pulpit in these churches. And unless Yahweh calls them out, or they hear messages such as this and the others on EFR, and they wake up and they come over to the remnant and abandon that Judeo-Christianity, they're doomed. I hate to say that. You know, I'm not the judge, but the word is the judge. And the word will judge them when they stand before the throne. I can only quote what's in the scriptures. And they have to decide for themselves, and you need to decide for yourself what's what. That's all I can do. That's the best I can do, is quote the scriptures. Okay, that ends chapter 1 of Romans. Let's go into chapter 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Romans, you can reference Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. That's Matthew 7, verse 1. And Luke chapter 6, verse 37. That's Luke 6, 37. Let's see here. Therefore, O man, you are without excuse, everyone who judges, for in which you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you who judge practice the same wrongs. Okay, that's why I said, I can't judge. I can only quote what it says in this book. And people are going to have to take that or leave it as they choose. Get a little drink of coffee. Because if it was not for the forgiveness of Yahweh, I would be doomed. He called me for some strange reason. And he shows his love. He's changed my whole life around. Just, you know, he did that. Verse 3. And do you think, O man, you who judge those practicing such wrongs and doing the same, that's hypocrisy, okay, that you shall escape the judgment of Elohim? In other words, you can't stand up in the pulpit and point fingers if you're doing the same thing. If you got somebody out in the congregation that's whoring around on his wife, and you call him out on it, but you're whoring around on yours, have a couple of girlfriends because you're a pastor and, oh, you're so cool, and you abuse your office that you've been called to, you're going to get the same judgment, okay? Verse 4, and verse 4 of chapter 2 reference the wisdom of Solomon again in your Apocrypha. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 11, verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Okay. And patience. And you can reference 1 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 9. No, that's 2 Peter. Pardon me. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 9. That's 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Not knowing that the kindness of Elohim leads you to repentance. Okay. Verse 5. But according to your hardness and your unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. Oh, you're gathering up wrath. If you've got a hard and unrepentant heart, that's rough right there. And revelations of the righteous judgment of Elohim. Verse 6. I need to change my glasses. I can't see this close. My eyes are old. That's much better. Verse 6. And you can reference Psalm 62, verse 12. And Proverbs 24, verse 12. Proverbs 24, verse 12 for verse 6. Who shall render to each one according to his works. Verse 7, it explains this. Verse 7, everlasting life to those who by persistence in good work seek for esteem and respect and incorruptibility. Verse 8, the other side of the coin. But wrath and displeasure to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but only obey unrighteousness. Self-promoters, okay? Like these pastors that are getting richer and richer and richer. But they live a life of a sinner. Verse 9. Affliction and distress on every human being working what is evil. Of the Ya'udi first. Those are the people of Judah first. And also of the Greek. That's the Hellenes. The Israelites that had been living under Greek dominion. Verse 10. But esteem, respect, and peace to everyone working what is good. To the Ya'udi first, and also to the Greek. Okay, there are two classes of people. Those that are working what is evil, and those are working what is good because they believe in the word. Verse 11. For there is no partiality with Elohim. Okay. He doesn't differentiate. If you're an Israelite, you're an Israelite. No matter what nation you're in, if you are of Israel, you are of Israel. Verse 12. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Deuteronomy 10, 17. Okay, for verse 11 and 12. Verse 12, for as many as sinned without Torah shall also perish without Torah, and as many as sinned in the Torah shall be judged by the Torah. Sin is sin. It doesn't make a bit of difference. You know whether you're doing right or wrong. Verse 13. And verse 13, you can reference Matthew 7, verses 21 through 27. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. And, John 2, verses 14 through 24. John 2, 14 through 24. Verse 13. For not the hearers of the Torah are righteous in the sight of Elohim, but the doers of the Torah shall be declared right. Okay, hearing, yeah, you hear it, but you don't do it. If you do it, that's what Yahweh's looking for. Yeshua said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Well, verse 14, for one nations who do not have the Torah by nature do what is in the Torah, although not having the Torah, they are a Torah to themselves. Now, the nations he's talking about here are the dispersed Israelites. Verse 15, who show the work of the Torah written in their hearts. I will write my law in your hearts in the last days. That's what he says. Well, written in their hearts, they know, okay? Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or even excusing. Verse 16. In the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men through Yeshua Messiah according to my good news. All right, verse 17. See, you are called a Yahudi, that's a man of the tribe of Judah here, and rest on the Torah and make your boast in Elohim. Verse 18, and know the desire of Elohim and approve what is superior, being instructed out of the Torah. Not the Talmud, the Torah, okay? Verse 19. And are trusting that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Verse 20, an instructor of foolish ones, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and of the truth in the Torah. All right, and for that verse, you can reference Psalm 147, verse 19. Psalm 147, verse 19. The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 2. And chapter 9, verse 4. That's Romans 3, 2. and Romans 9, 4. Verse 21. You then who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Okay. You who proclaim that a man should not steal, do you steal? And you can reference Exodus 20, verse 15. That's Exodus 20, verse 15. And Deuteronomy 5, verse 18 on that. Verse 22. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Reference Exodus 20, verse 14, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19. And adultery doesn't just mean making your marriage impure. It means making impure the bloodline of Israel. Race mixing, okay? Continuing on in verse 22. You who abominate idols, do you rob temples? Verse 23. You who make your boast in the Torah through the transgression of the Torah, do you disrespect Elohim? In other words, you people that quote the law all the time, do you break the law? He's asking them. Are you saying one thing but doing another? All right, verse 24. You can reference Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5. Isaiah 52, verse 5. For the name of Elohim is blasphemed among the nations because of you, as it has been written. In other words, these Israelites are quoting the Torah and expounding on the Torah, but they're doing wrong, and the Israelites in dispersion are seeing this, and they're falling away from the word of Yahweh because of the behavior of the other Israelites that are doing wrong. Verse 25. For circumcision indeed profits if you practice the Torah. Here you go. That's obedience to the command if you were circumcised. But if you are a transgressor of the Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In other words, it didn't do you any good to be circumcised if you're going to break the rest of the commandments. You got to do them all, okay? And here we go. It explains verse 26. So, if an uncircumcised one watches over the righteousness of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned as circumcision? Okay, these Israelites in foreign lands were living and they didn't get circumcised on the eighth day because they were in foreign lands and it wasn't done. But if they come under Yeshua and they're obeying the righteousness, they're doing what even a circumcised man is not doing, and Yahweh looks at the intent of the heart. Okay, verse 27. And the uncircumcised by nature, in other words, one that was born and raised in one of these other lands but is an Israelite, but was never circumcised. They were in a foreign country that didn't follow it like they did in Israel. Verse 27, and the uncircumcised by nature who perfects the Torah shall judge you who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, are a transgressor of the Torah. Now he clarifies that here, verse 28. For he is not a Yahudi, that's a man of the tribe of Judah, who is so outwardly. In other words, these Edomites were getting circumcised, but they didn't follow the Torah. They were just presenting themselves as Israelites, but they were not. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. It's the obedience to the law. Okay, that's the whole deal. Just being circumcised doesn't make you righteous. Verse 29, and you can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Exodus 19, verse 5, Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verses 12 through 16, and chapter 30, verses 6 through 8. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 19, Exodus 19, 5, Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 16, and 30, 6 through 8. Verse 29. But a Yahudi, that's a Judahite, is he who is so inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in spirit, not literally, whose praise is not from men, but from Elohim. All right, that ends chapter 2. Let me explain that. These Edomites were getting circumcised and talking about the Torah, but they were not of Israel. They were fakers, and they were using circumcision. Look, I'm circumcised. I'm a Judahite. But they weren't. They weren't inwardly a Judahite. They were trying to appear like a Judahite on the outside. So he's differentiating that right here. Okay. Now, Paul goes on to explain further in chapter 3. That ends chapter 2. Let's get into chapter 3. What then is the advantage of the Yahudi being a Judahite, or what is the value of the circumcision? Verse 2, much in every way. Because firstly, indeed, that they were entrusted with the words of Elohim. In other words, they were true Israel. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief nullify the trustworthiness of Elohim? Okay, there were some that didn't believe. That was on them, okay? Verse 4. Let it not be, but let Elohim be true, and every man a liar, as it has been written, that you should be declared right in your words and prevail in your judging. Now that's Psalm 51, verse 4. Psalm 51, verse 4. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness establishes the righteousness of Elohim, what shall we say? Is Elohim unrighteous who is inflicting wrath? I speak as a man. Verse 6. Let it not be. Otherwise, how shall Elohim judge the world? It's Yahweh's province. It's his authority. He has the authority to do that. Okay? Doesn't make him unrighteous because he puts the hammer on some people. That's because of their unrighteousness. All right. Verse 7. For if the truth of Elohim has increased through my lie to his esteem, why am I also still judged as a sinner? Verse 8. And why not say, let us do evil so that the good might come, as we are wrongly accused and as some claim that we say. So they were lying about him then. Their judgment is in the right. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously accused both Yehudim and Greeks that they are all under sin. So he clarifies that. This is a famous quote. All right. Verse 10. 11 and 12. 10, 11, and 12. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. And Psalm 53, verses 1 through 4. All right. That's Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and 53, 1 through 4. As it has been written, this is verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is no one who is understanding, there is none who is seeking Elohim. Verse 12, they have all turned aside, they have together become worthless. There is none who does good. No, not one. Verse 13, reference Psalm 5, verse 9. Psalm 5, 9, verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have deceived. That's Psalm 5, 9. The poison of adders is under their lips. That's Psalm 140, verse 3. That's 140, verse 3. Verse 14. Whose mouth is filled with cursing and bitterness. That's Psalm 10, verse 7. Psalm 10, 7. Okay. 15, 16, and 17. Psalm 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. That's Proverbs 1, verse 16. But 15, 16, and 17 is Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8 for 15, 16, and 17. Verse 16, ruin and wretchedness are in their ways. Verse 17, and the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18, and that's Psalm 36, verse 1 for verse 18. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. Psalm 36, 1. Verse 19. And we know that wherever the Torah says, it says to those who are in the Torah, so that every mouth might be stopped and all the world come under judgment before Elohim. Verse 20. And you can reference Psalm 143, verse 2. 143, verse 2. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, Exodus 20:20, Romans chapter 4, verse 15, and chapter 7, verse 7. Romans 4:15 and 7:7, and Galatians 2, verse 16. This is verse 20. Therefore, by works of Torah, no flesh shall be declared right before him. For by the Torah is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, this is very important. But now, apart from the Torah, a righteousness of Elohim has been revealed, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets. Verse 22, and you can reference Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 for this verse. Galatians 2:16 for verse 22. And the righteousness of Elohim is through belief in Yeshua Messiah to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. And he's talking about Israelites being different in different nations. They're all Israelites, whether they're in dispersion or they're still in the land of Yehuda. Don't differentiate. He's not talking about non-Israelites here. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the esteem of Elohim. All Israelites. Verse 24. Being declared right without paying by his favor, through the redemption which is in Messiah Yeshua. He made us right if we want to come under his covenant. But we have to be obedient if we come under the covenant. There's a condition to that. Verse 25. You can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. 4th Maccabees 17, verses 21 and 22, verse 25, whom Elohim set forth as an atonement, a covering over of our sins by his blood, okay, an atonement through belief in his blood. His blood covered over our sins. Once, we have an opportunity once, but we have to change our lives. To demonstrate his righteousness, because in his tolerance Elohim had passed over the sins that had taken place before. And what was Yeshua? He was the final Passover lamb. Passed over. Okay, that's when he was killed at Passover. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he is righteous and declares righteous the one who has belief in Yeshua, because if you believe in him, you will do as he said. Okay. Verse 27, where then is the boasting? It is shut out. By what Torah? Of works? No, but by the Torah of belief, the law of belief. Verse 28. For we reckon that a man is declared right by belief without works of Torah. Works don't save. Yeshua saves. Verse 29. Or is he the Elohim of the Yehudim only, and not also of the nations? That's the nations in dispersion. Yes, of the nations also, all the dispersed Israelites worldwide. And only Israelites, okay? Verse 30, and you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. Okay. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and Galatians 3:20 for verse 30. Since it is one Elohim who shall declare right the circumcised by belief and the uncircumcised through belief. If you hadn't been circumcised, you were in these foreign nations. The ones that had been circumcised in Jerusalem were not better because they were still sinners. And Yeshua is their redemption, not the circumcision. Verse 31. Do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? All right, the Torah stands. Let it not be. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. And you can reference chapter 7, verse 12 of this book. Chapter 7, verse 12. And that ends chapter 3, and we'll end the reading for today. He's not trying to do away with circumcision here. He's just explaining that the circumcision is not what frees you from the sin. And if an Israelite of another nation that was not circumcised on the eighth day comes to believe in Yeshua, the circumcision doesn't mean anything. It's Yeshua that does the redemption. When you come to Yeshua, you come as you are. If you were circumcised, that's fine. If you were uncircumcised, doesn't make a bit of difference. It's the belief and following of the commandments. Your behavior from that point that counts. If you want to be circumcised later, that's on you. But if you're still uncircumcised, it's not the circumcision or uncircumcision. It's going to keep you out of the kingdom. It's your behavior. If you are uncircumcised and you are following what Yeshua said because you came to him later in life, you're going to make it in the kingdom. He's not going to hold that uncircumcision against you. But if you're circumcised and you are disobeying the commandments and living the life of a heller, you're not going to get into the kingdom even if you were circumcised, because your behavior is going to keep you out. And that is the point that Paul is making here. He's not trying to do away with the act of circumcision. To those that know the law and have a child, they should circumcise him on the eighth day. They should follow that commandment. But if you come to Yeshua and Yahweh later in life and have never been circumcised, they're not going to be held against you. Okay? Circumcision or uncircumcision is not going to keep you out of the kingdom. It's your behavior once you know the truth. And once you accept Yeshua Messiah, and if you are obedient to him, that's why you will go into the kingdom. He is the key to that glorious door. Well, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you on the next show. And may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.